Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We are in round six, and we're heading into transforming anger into its healthy role, which is movement, momentum, having room to literally execute and have action take hold and unleash blockages as anger can do. I don't know why I'm thinking of this random fact right now, but often before people have like a stroke or a heart attack, they go through a really angry time. They just get really, really pissy about everything because that anger is trying to unhook like a blood clot, to unhook a blockage of some sort that's in there. So there is a certain amount of need, shall we say, for anger to be here. And sometimes we think, oh, I shouldn't be feeling that way. I'll just hold that in. I'll just suppress that. I'll just internalize that. And if we tend to be people who are always externalizing our anger, are not always internalizing it, it has a different impact. And then if we're always internalizing it and never expressing it, both have their ups and downs. And on one hand, the externalizers get it off their chest, so to speak, but it may not actually necessarily be contained in a way, because it's still related to something that's personal, to then be used as fuel to clear any blockages in the body or to unhook any potential challenges that are afoot in the system. For those of us that are internalizing, tend to overly compartmentalize it, and we tend to really hold on to it. If you're like me, I should probably have both hands up. You might even loop in it on occasion, meaning you might ruminate or perseverate on it. And it can get stuck in some certain loops that may be a little bit tricky to then unhook from, to let the anger again do the job that it's meant to do, which is to again clear out those blocks and anything that's on the path. Anger also not just clears up blocks, but helps us to literally take action to move forward in our lives into meaningful endeavors. So it's meant to create fuel. It's meant to create a form of nourishment and sustenance in and of itself. We don't always think of anger in this way. So I'm about to maybe engage with a new flavor of understanding around anger in that way as we head into the session. The desk is metal, so you might hear some odd clicks and clangs. I'm a hands talker, even though my hands are not always on camera. They might be underneath the desk a little bit. All right, gang. So I'm going to just get a quick sip of water here. Not sure where that went to. Got my coconut water nearby, so I'm gonna settle for that. I love that. Best time to clean the house is when we're pissed off, right? Gets everything done. If you haven't cleaned your house while angry, highly recommend. Or gardening. Gardening is like the best. Getting all your muscles in there for that shovel and that dirt. Oh, so therapeutic. I could go on. I'm going to digress for right now. I'm going to invite us to check out a place if you haven't already to get comfy, where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for your session. And beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive, to drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, and to let go, and to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, to drink it in, and to let yourself really steep in it. Every breath, an opportunity is to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant to neutral, taking time to again savor it, to be with it. And let yourself really just simply rest here. Okay, love. So as we settle in for today, excuse me, I'm coming up to work with more of the internalized anger component. So this is the part of anger where we take it in, we make ourselves wrong for it even potentially, or we might have a history of other people making us wrong for it more so is what I'm meaning. And we have a tendency to hold it in. And we have a tendency to hold it in part because people have made us wrong for it. So it becomes this interesting little trap where we can almost like quicksand, particularly, get stuck within it. And as long as we're sort of twisting in that quicksand, it's really challenging to be able to get out of that cycle. And to support this, we're gonna run lymphatic drainage in particular through the processors of the anger, the liver and the gallbladder notably. It's gonna work with entirely the solar plexus chakra. And it's also going into working with the component of your nervous system that goes into like the fight flight. So this is more of that fancy word, sympathetic nervous system side of life. Okay, love. We're linking all of that into, interestingly enough, the 12th house, which is that house of the liver meridian, which helps with releasing, surrendering, letting go. And we actually need to give that its own body talk session, which is actually a really good sign. It means that tendency to hold the anger in and to suppress it is actually ready to release, let go, surrender, and to have a new way of being amongst our particular, shall we say, habit pattern. So as we give this its own mini body talk session, it's working with the overall theme of supporting the surrendering into the release of the anger. Sometimes the fear of that is that it'll come out externally, it'll come out in the wrong way, it'll come out in a way that alienates people, it'll come out in a way that's not supporting our overall needs. I'm actually linking all five, six senses into the sympathetic nervous system that's working with that expression of anger, as well as into the solar plexus chakra, which helps to supportively like digest it. And we're linking both that nervous system and the solar plexus together as well to support the nervous system in being able to read and get updated on the fact that, you know what, a lot of this has actually already been digested. You're just hanging out in the old habit pattern that's like a ghost, so to speak, of the past, but is nonetheless something that we're continuously stepping into and reenacting and re-engaging with. So that ghost of the past that feels like it's creating and dictating the possibilities of the future. If you could imagine this next component speaking right to that ghost, so to speak, of the past. Not an actual ghost, you understand, but a sense of it feeling like it's haunting you in its own repetitious way, which is why I'm using that sort of phrasing. And just give me one sec. My menopause brain is kicking in for just a second here. Okay, we're linking that all into the rib cage, consciousness of protection. And there's a sense of it feeling like that this habitual pattern, shall we say, is overly being protected and closed in, almost like the sense of even though your system isn't necessarily getting what it used to get from it, and it's hanging on to it out of a fear of not knowing any other way. Okay, so we're actually gonna run a Sidri here on this whole dynamic, and it's linking into the crown chakra to help transcend it. And I actually see the nervous system literally cozying into, cuddling up to the solar plexus chakra to support almost like this habit pattern, this new habit pattern gets to arise with that Sidri, to support it in digesting and to support the capacity for empowerment on the other side of transforming and transcending this particular habitual way of being in the system. Okay, so starting with C, circulation. Excuse me, circulation of all the healing resources. Blood that carries our passion. Nerve our communication. Lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing. Along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down to all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower that inflammation, anxiety, depression, help our nervous system, our immune system, and really our whole body to heal. And also balancing the yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, with the yang, the masculine essence of protection. Then we're going to work with the hydration, which helps to bring water into the cells. Helping it to be utilized and helping it to not just bring in the nourishment element that it does, but water also helps us to release old toxicities that no longer need to be in the system to support our capacity to be fluid, to flow. And then we're gonna work with D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring, pardon me, a spring clean. Gonna get a sip of water, bear with me. Okay, that D for defrag, much like that computer clean or spring clean, taking out the clutter that no longer needs to be here, what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking. Opening up the possibilities where it may have seemed like they were done before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. You might think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And I hear the words, much like a permission statement, just accept me. It's like the whisper of a small child looking, longing to be held in relationship, in relationality, and wanting to just simply be met. And as we work with this, we're unhooking confusion, we're unhooking a fair amount of disorientation. And we're linking it right back into that liver gallbladder complex. And if that little one grew up, it might say something like, now that it's oriented, how can I get my needs met here? I'm still confused on this now. Well, I know where I am, I'm here, I'm centered. Now what? How do I get my needs met? And we're unhooking the belief system that it has to happen through force or being forced. So through using force or through being forceful. And there's this whole dynamic of manipulation and abuse that was learned in particular to establish a sense of control. It's hooked into the diaphragm, the back body, the right body, and the left side of the throat. It's right in the middle of the vertical line of the throat, but just to the on the left side though. So on the left side of the throat, but in the middle. There's actually a bit in the pancreas. I think we worked there last week, was it, or in the last couple of weeks? And for some of you, you have a bit of it going into the leg bones, in particular on that right side, into the bone marrow. And again, if this pattern could talk, it would say something to the effect of, I have to control others, my world, my environment, in order to even have like a hope in hell of getting my needs met. And if this pattern could keep talking, it would go on to say how exhausted it was. This exhaustion is to a breaking point. Where it may even already for your, some of you be in burnout states, or for some of you might be approaching burnouts. We'll link that through to where the right shoulder meets the spine. And that's holding particularly on to a bit of righteous anger. In the sense that, like, this shouldn't be happening. Why is it like this? I did all the right things. Why am I exhausted? Why am I burnt out? Why isn't this seeming to work? And I just keep feeling, I'm trying to figure this part out. There's this air of like smug satisfaction. And something, I don't quite get it yet, but something about like if you weren't feeling chronically exhausted, then that might somehow, like if you weren't feeling good or well nourished or rested, that then you'd be giving into somebody else's smug satisfaction. It's like healing is a betrayal to your true authentic states. So there's a part of you that's carrying that level of confusion. And it's hooked in various different points, somewhere along that back body, right body, diaphragm region, which goes into the low back as well. There's a ligament that goes down from your diaphragm into your lumbar spine. And then at the same time as all of that, we're going to work with kidney one points in the middle of the bottom of the soles of the feet. And as they begin to take up earth energy, I begin to see that energy rise through the areas, the back body, right body, diaphragm. And now it's showing up as quite black. And as the earth energy comes in, it becomes more golden, becomes more light. But it does so in stages, almost like a bruise would fade. So the bruise was black, going from purplish blue to that sort of like green, reddish, orangey yellow tone, all the way through to the golden natural skin tone again. And there's a sense here of feeling really, quite frankly, bruised. That's beginning to transform into, again, a state of wholeness. And there's almost this expectant, habitual expectation, in fact, being bruised. That's creating a certain chronic level of frustration, resentment, irritation, maybe even all the way up to like being pissed off or rageful. And it's like there's this chronic pain point. Forgive my radio silence. I was with the bruise part and just began to give it some bandaging, some wound control, and gave it circulation of all the healing resources to further support integration back into natural, authentic, golden-toned energy. At the same time as all of that, we're going into the environment. Working with, in particular, the factor of money, which represents abundance, value, self-worth. And here we're just simply running the permissions. I'm worth being taken care of. I'm worth being taken care of. And sinking into the 10th house. In astrology, this works with career, achievements, recognition, and outward self-expression. And there is overworking, over-functioning, overdoing, all of them. Carrying that essence of burnout or on your way to being. There's the image of like a sun setting, like things are going to go down to darkness real fast unless there is some TLC coming in hot. So, on that note, we're linking this into all seven chakras. I've seen that come up a few times as of late. It's like we're in round six and integrating things. And working with the entire Taji pole, that intersectionality between the chakra system and the meridian system. And we're linking all five, six senses into here to perceive it, and then linking that perception, that awareness into the heart to create harmony and to distribute it to the rest of the system. Then working with the overthinking, this isn't just in the head brain, this is also in the gut brain, the heart brain. Overthinking, overanalyzing, overusing your, in particular, the sympathetic nervous system. And for that part, we need to do a couple things. We're going to first start off with running a cellular repair for the kidney adrenal slash nervous system complex, the sympathetic nervous system, as a whole. And like literally just supporting it to release some of that old exhaustion, that old burnt out energy. Being defined by the consciousness of revitalization. As well as, there's one more coming in here, just waiting for it. Reinvigoration, there's a third one actually as well. And the word here is reevaluation. It's like getting to hang out in the reinvigorated state, may press into reevaluating current choices, ways of acting, ways of implementing your life. So, in essence, where can you slow down to create more resource? What's one thing you can take off of your to-do list? This is particularly helpful or true or needed, necessary, if you're going, there's no way I can let anything go. One of the metaphors I've heard somebody talk to this about is there's the glass balls and there's the plastic balls. If we drop a plastic ball and it breaks, not so bad. If we drop a glass ball and it breaks, kind of worse. So now we're working with the glass balls that are broken, for those of you who may have elevated to that level, and the broken glass, and we're linking it into again the heart chakra, as well as bringing in circulation of all the healing resources to the nervous system that feeds that heart brain and supporting it in coming back into harmony, into balance. And we're running the permissions that life balance is welcome again. Life balance is welcome again. And then again, following that up with what's one thing you can take off of your to-do list? What's one thing? And feel free not necessarily to have an answer in this moment, but feel free to ponder that, to contemplate that, and to take that into the coming days, weeks, even, and consider that to be ongoing homework daily for this entire round. I think what's coming up so strongly is that we are in the realm really of integrating all five koshas. And it typically happens from a place of rest, acceptance, and ease, all of which we've touched in on today in various ways. Then we're unhooking what feels like almost like a fuzzy ball, and it's hanging out in the center of the prefrontal cortex, and it has a forward-leaning motion to it, creating a tendency to just like keep leaning in, to keep pushing, to keep going no matter what, even if it's like causing you personal detriment. And just unhooking it from the edges of that ball. And in doing so, releasing the judgment that unless you give it 1,000% and maybe an additional 10% on top of that, that you're somehow going to be like not just even just a failure, but that you won't necessarily feel like you made somebody proud of you, that they'll be disappointed in you. And that sense of feeling like a failure, feeling overwhelming. And as we begin to unhook those particular essences, those feelings, I see the ball begin to transform. And then rather than leaning into life, it actually changes and it's becoming receptacle, pardon me, it's becoming receptive. And it's becoming a receptacle in particular for what feels like demand. So we're not quite done with this piece yet, there's more to do. So then it's just getting overwhelmed by the demands of life, almost like it's asking the question, then how do I handle all of these things? We're gonna run one more cellular repair. And we're actually unhooking this from mom's side of the family and working within the maternal lineage, going all the way back. This is, wow, 25 ancestors. That's fairly far back down the line. Working with men's expectations that women should XYZ, do the emotional labor, raise the kids, clean the home, do all the things, and be in an overwhelmed state, and that's fine, as long as they don't have to deal with it. It's like you just suffer, so I don't have to. And we're unhooking that expectation of having to suffer in order to be, I'm going to say, protected by men, in order to be potentially even taken care of by men. Okay, we're gonna tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. And it's almost like it was carrying a tonality of like pride, like look how much I can do, look how much how I have done. And there was almost the expectation that like that's how you get people to be proud of you, that you have to decimate yourself, which utilizes all your angry energy and then leaves you depleted, so you don't have anger available to create motion, movement, momentum in the way that it's meant to. And you may in turn then be located in other sources of anger. You might find yourself in an angry state to try to fill up that sense of depletion. So it becomes this, again, this loop, this feedback loop, that can be the self incursion of being trapped within these particular cycles. So then you'll extract different experiences. Just saw a squirrel run up a tree. There's a tree like literally that's very tall, maybe 2 feet away from the home, and I saw the squirrel go all the way up. So cool being out here. Love the nature. Yeah, that squirrel had some anger resourced in a good way. It was able to move when it wanted to move. Yeah. So, and it was actually, it had a nut in its mouth, which is why it caught my eye even more so. And it was, I imagine, squirreling it up the tree or doing whatever squirrels do when they take nuts up trees. And you'll, coming back to my earlier statements, you'll find yourselves in situations that attract a fair amount of anger just to try to make up for this deficit. And then it might get used up again in a form of, expending it to either get your needs met, people pleasing, or however it unfolds. And there's still this loop that's happening. So to address that particular loop, shall we say? It's almost like an addiction to imbalance. We need to run body chemistry to unhook the toxicity of being addicted to not having balance. And as we do that, it's almost like there's inflammation in the brain that's contributing to that. We're going to run another series, in fact, on the brain. We're going to run a release of mold, heavy metal, that were attracted by the same vibration of anger that was being held in the system. And then we're heading into a full spinal reciprocal with that. And I see that as releasing the toxicities in particular from the entire vertebral column, from the entire spine, as well as from that entire tower of chakras, the Tajipul, and where it interacts with the meridians, in particular the liver and the kidney. An emotional release of sadness around these particular dynamics and around a sense of not feeling valuable in order to have done things differently, which is in particular contributing to the finances and not necessarily feeling the worthiness in a way that then gets translated into financial return. And that in turn is linking into the belief system of I make myself sick, that we're addressing. It's held in the solar plexus chakra and it's held in the digestive system that the solar plexus chakra governs. And it's like that sickness should be reinforced and continue to reinforce this whole cycle as well. Okay, we're going to tap this out, and I'm going to invite you to really exaggerate your inhale as you do so. Breathing here, receiving here. And then we're working. This is actually going back into the part of you that is in the first few weeks of being born in infancy. And times in which you weren't taken care of in the way that you wanted to be taken care of. And those little or big missing your void pieces of nourishment, setting a tone for that how is that's how life is meant to be. So I'm gonna imagine that we can actually give this baby a do-over. I'm gonna invite you to literally imagine that you can, as yourself, as an adult, tend to yourself as a little one. Not giving yourself the adult comforts, but giving yourself what babies need. Regular food, touch, care, letting them know that they're safe, giving them a sense of security, helping them to make sense of their world when it's confusing, they're not sure how to navigate it, and releasing any particular layers of disorientation around that. And as they make their way through those confusions, helping them to integrate those awarenesses on their side in ways that build, and particularly build their sense of self-worth in a way that lets them know that they're valuable, and the way that they move, think, act in this world is valuable too. And I'm imagining right now doing that for every one of your little ones, all the way from ages infants to age two. As we tap this out, again, exaggerating the breath, in particular, again, the inhale, breathing here, receiving here. And then from that infant self all the way up to age two, we're looking at unhooking any perceived rejections to the point where it actually became something later on in life, in your adult life, where you may be even questioning when people do accept you, if they're actually accepting you or if they're really just rejecting you. And that in turn may even cultivate a pattern of learned helplessness, like not even being able to at times differentiate what's actually true. And not even sure at times if people like you or just assuming that they do without ever questioning it, which might be healthier than not in this particular scenario, the healthier option of those two. And for that, we're bringing in the Merkaba symbol. Merkaba. So it has many different facets, many different sides, and it helps us to take in things from new angles. It's also thought to relate in, I think it's more of a Jewish lens. Maybe like a Jewish mystical lens more so, that it's thought to be like the seat of God. Or connecting to like the heavenly realms, the realm, the throne of God. And in general, it's thought to just simply mean your light body. So no mistake that it's coming in here in round six. Our light body is meant to help us to like align ourselves to our essence of being here passionately. So it may be the most lovingly present system there is. As we work with it, the Merkaba, by the way, I don't think I mentioned this earlier, has different components to it. There's like kind of like 12 different dots that are connecting this 3D structure, these basically intersectionalities of two pyramids. And every one of the dots, those 12 dots that make up these pyramids and their points of where they intersect, they actually relate to every one of the meridians. So actually contain the entirety of the meridian system as a whole. Okay, so it works in, it's also going to work with all things yin, all things yang. And if we could imagine that this light body, as we connect to it, can never actually really be separate from us. So, as I say, we connect to it, we're just turning our attention towards it because it's never actually not here. We're actually linking this entire session that we've done so far into the Merkabah to literally be held in the light of the divine. To be steeped in its power and to balance and revive the two sides of our brain. To strengthen our sensitivities, our mental abilities, and to help us to heal and to protect and to assist any spiritual growth elements that you're seeking. Literally, the etymology of the Merkaba translates into being the chariot. Or in Hebrew, I think it might even more specifically, and I might have this not quite right, but it's like the chariot of God. So, in this sense of being protected and held, healed in a way that allows us to grow, to enhance even our intuition, there's a certain amount of power in this sacred energy. In the very center of it. It's thought to be centered, by the way, around the third eye. In the very center of it, we have that brow chakra, your seat of intuition, your seat of insights. And we need to link all things front body through that conception vessel meridian that carries your nourishment. Up to the center of the Merkaba. And just hanging out with it and showing me something that I can't quite figure out yet. Ah, got it. Okay. It took me just a second to interpret what it was saying. There's actually anger towards the light body from the non-light body components. There's anger towards it not lightening its load, literally. Anger towards it, feeling like it's keeping it suffering for no reason. Anger around why is this pain still here? And that type of anger that comes from almost a sense of feeling victimized by life tends to be the stickiest of all angers. And it tends to be the type of anger that leads us to be like, just please, I'll do anything, let it go. Some version of what I lightheartedly referred to as the toilet bowl prayer that fairly familiar with from my teenage 20s, more so years of life. And the sense of grasping that goes with that, the sense of please just make it go away. And all of that doesn't actually allow us to gain what we need to gain from being with the pain, the misery, in order to selectively allow the light energy to be lit up fully. So the light doesn't do it on its own. It's actually by us digesting, devouring, releasing, processing, and integrating the stuff that's in the way that this light can shine with the fullness of being connected to all things front body. So connecting the, again, that conception vessel meridian in the midline. And in particular, working with it from the pelvis, the perineum, conception vessel 1 point. That's carrying the beginning all the way up to the center of the forehead. And as we begin to support this connection, conception vessel 1 carries the energy of grounding in all things feminine, healing, essence, nourishment. Linking it all the way up to this third eye, which is where we released earlier, if you recall, the leading in or the pushing in or the need to do this in a way that requires force. And I actually see it without that force there and the receptacle that's formed on the other side of that release. This energy from the base of the pelvis begins to flow up the midline, begins to connect, illuminating, lighting up, radiating from the inside out in a way that takes this energy that was there, that was kind of black, and forms your personal northern star, your personal guidance system. And releasing any layers of confusion and allowing anger to healthily fuel this lighting up process. Using anger to surrender the pain after it's been devoured, digested, and no longer necessary to be held on for protection. Using the anger as momentum to explore any remaining residual pain that has yet to reveal its gifts, its seed of awareness that's containing not just pain, but the blossom, the flowering of thriving, of coming alive again. Doing an emotional release again of sadness. It's interesting enough coming out of the right brain and the left arm. And then also going through from right brain to left arm, that spot in the throat that we worked with earlier that was anchoring in the control piece. And it's carrying with it a feeling of being separate, a feeling of being ostracized by others versus held in a unified way by the light of the Merkaba, the light of God, the light of whatever your word is for that all. We're working with them more so from a sacred geometry standpoint. And also working with now the sides of the neck. The sides in general work with stability and being able to compartmentalize, being able to hold things in. And there's a sense of having done that for too long. This might be my menopause speaking. There's And FYI, when menopause happens or estrogen drops, there is usually a tendency to not care so much about needing to appease others, and there is a desire to just directly, bluntly say it like it is, and to share from the heart without having to conceal or plan ahead what you're going to say so it doesn't offend somebody or. So as we work with it. It's interestingly enough, I just heard this phrase three times. I don't know why I'm arguing with it. Much like a permission statement, it's linking into the awareness of you don't need to be here anymore. And that might be an expression to something that's no longer welcome. That might be an expression of you leaning into being able to say that, to hold your boundary. And I see that as actually allowing for your voice, your expression, to no longer suppress, but to actually state like your needs in an honest, open, that doesn't work. That's no longer welcome. That won't be happening any further. And rather than doing it from a place of, oh gosh, it might not land this way, or I know what they're going to say, or I know what they're going to do, from the familiar place, letting that all go and honoring it from your truth, from your place, from your sides of your neck that are no longer wanting to contain or hold in or suppress their nature, their ideas, their thoughts, their feelings, their point of view. And then we've touched on this in various ways over the last maybe a few months. It's going into that the school system, and if you've attended a school system, most of us have in some way, shape, or form, you're probably taught to act a certain way, walk in a single file, hold still in certain places, don't fidget, don't speak up whenever you want to, but to act in a way that's ultra, shall we say, controlled. Okay, it took me like 50 minutes attacking you, but I think we finally got to like the core of what that energetic imprint that I first found in the image, the back body, the right body, the diaphragm, the throat point, were all relating to. This is a time that was reinforced over and over and over and over and over and over for years, how controlled you had to be a valuable, worthy, this relates to your abundance, your financial capacity, member of society. So if you aren't doing it in a perceived way that's mainstream, then that seems to challenge the belief systems that you've held about your financial earning capacity. It's like my own intuition was knocking to get us there, and now I can rest. So that sigh was more for me. And as we work with it, we're just literally offering it permission to rebel, permission to do it in its own way, permission to do perhaps the most daredevil thing that there is in this world, to be yourself uniquely, your own expression, and to figure out what that is, because odds are high, odds are very, very high that you've hidden that from yourself through all the lens of conditioned responses. So getting in tune, getting in touch with that happens usually by contemplation, spending time in stillness, spending time in rest. Also a big theme of this session. Maybe that's nature, maybe that's doing a particular breathing practice, maybe that's having a bath, maybe that's peacefully chilling out in any way that you want, even if it goes against anything you've been told, and just simply honoring what's here versus descriptive, these are the rules, and this is what you should do. And as much as I'm personally someone who's challenged, it feels like my whole life, the mainstream notions, there's still holdings of that in my own system because that's what I was raised in for years and years and years. And I see that holding in our group right now as a whole, in the liver meridian, right in the crown, governing all of your habits. And it's creating almost like a fogginess. It's creating a false reality that keeps us stuck in our various cycles of anger. Because we're literally continuously choking ourselves off and suppressing ourselves from our truest expression. Okay, as we tap this out, I'm going to invite you to breathe, and this time exaggerating the exhale to release, to let go, to surrender. Breathing here, receiving here. and I'm adding in one more permissions. As soon as I started to tap it out, this one was right on top, and the words were just simply here. You are not a trained monkey. You are not a trained monkey who needs to be controlled. There's nothing in you that's so dangerous that it must be forcibly controlled. And nor do we need to train you to jump through hoops, to be entertaining, to get along, to get your needs met, to make a living. Unless you're caught thinking that. So as we release this, we get to release all that goes with that. Breathing here, exaggerating that exhale, taking at least three more breaths here, and allowing that to fully integrate. Thank you for calling this medicine in. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineage that held all that they did to make this particular moment of healing possible. Thank you. Breathing here. And allowing yourselves to continue to rest for the next few minutes. I'm gonna play a song. It's called Into the River. It's about 4 minutes long. Invitation to touch into that resource and to allow yourselves to continue to breathe.
I wanna lay my bones down in the water. I wanna lay my body down on the earth. I wanna lay my bones down in the water. I wanna lay my body down on the earth. I wanna lay my bones down in. I wanna lay my body down on the earth. I wanna lay my bones down in the water. I wanna lay my body down on the earth.
Lean into the river.
Lean in.
Lean in.
Thank you again for calling this medicine in and being here exactly as you are. Wishing you all a beautiful rest of your day and your week ahead. And I wanted to bring this in for a nice soft landing to let you know that the poll, the thank you all for filling out the survey. We got a fair few responses. And for the first time ever, we had a tie. So I sent you out one more survey. You have until this weekend, I think I said Saturday, to answer. It's down to just the two options. So 12 astrological houses are working with circulation and flow. So feel free to vote for your fave. I'm glad you like the song. And you're most welcome, everyone, to the session. What a unique way that it unfolded today. Okay, my loves. I'm going to sign off for now and wish you a most beautiful day and week ahead. We'll see you next week. And if anybody needs any additional support, feel free to hang out afterwards. I've got some space and time. Mwah. Bye for now, loves.